My dear Mr. Kappus, I want to advise you further, dear Mr. Kappus, although I can say almost nothing helpful, hardly anything useful. You have had many and great sorrows that have passed, and you say that even this passing was difficult and disturbing for you. But please consider, have not these great sorrows rather passed right through you? Has much not changed for you? And have you not been anywhere at the point of your being transformed while you were sad? The only dangerous and evil sorrows are those that people carry around in society in order to drown them out. Like diseases treated superficially and foolishly, they simply withdraw, and after a brief hiatus, relapse more terribly. They accumulate in the interior, and they are life, but unlived, rejected, lost life, of which one can die. If only it were possible for us to see farther than our knowledge reaches, and even a little past the far reaches of our foresight, perhaps we would endure our sorrows with greater trust than our joys. For they are moments when something new has entered us, something unknown. Our feelings fall silent in bashful embarrassment. Everything in us withdraws, a silence arises, and the new, which no one has known, stands in the midst of all and is silent. I believe that almost all our sorrows are moments of tension, which we feel as paralysis because we no longer hear our alienated feelings living, because we are alone with the stranger who has entered into us, because everything we trust and are accustomed to is taken away for a moment, because we are in the middle of a transition where we cannot remain standing. That is why sadness passes. The new within us, the additional presence, has entered into our heart and gone into its innermost chamber and has left, is already in the blood, and we do not know what it was. You could easily make us believe that nothing happened, and yet we have transformed ourselves, just as a house is transformed by the entrance of a guest. We cannot tell who has come, perhaps we will never know, but there are many indications that the future enters into us in just this wise, to transmute itself into us long before it takes place. And that is why it is so important to be solitary and attentive when one is in sorrow, because the seemingly uneventful and motionless instant, when our future enters us, stands much closer to life than any other loud and random point in time when it happens to us from the outside. The quieter, more patient, and more open we are as sorrowful persons, so much more deeply and steadily does the new progress in us. So much better do we appropriate it. So much more will it be our destiny. And when, at a later day, it happens, that is, when it steps out from us to others, we will feel that our innermost selves are akin and near to it. And this is necessary. It is necessary. And little by little our development will move toward it, so that nothing alien will come upon us, but only what has long since been ours.